Hello, everybody, and welcome to Karate Cafe. I'm Pete Shambo, and with me we have somebody different. Well, he's been on before. It's Renchi Tony Musso. He's a fifth degree. I don't know if he was fifth when he was on last, but he's earned his rank as of a few months ago. And tonight we thought I'd interview him. He's been around. He's been doing the martial arts for quite a while now. How long, Renchi?
Well, Peter, first of all, I'd like to thank you for that nice introduction. Just around 30 years on and off.
Wow. Okay, so 30, you've seen a lot of changes.
I've seen a lot of changes. I've been really into it in the last 20-something years. I've been into it steadily. Prior to that, I went to some schools that, didn't last and did different things.
So what style? Now you're in our style, Shorin Ryu Shotokan. If I keep messing that up.
Shorin Ryu.
You're in Shorin Ryu. You've been doing that for 20 years.
Let's see. I'd have to look back at my certificates. It's so long, but quite a while. Yes.
Yeah, what other styles? What did you study before that?
We called it Goshin Jitsu, which I really haven't figured out what style it is. They did their own thing. And it was very similar to a Japanese style. Okay, probably a Shotokan style seems to match up to it the best.
So it was an American style, though?
It was Japanese, but they had their own little touches to it they added and never quite figured out how it was done.
Okay, and
like everyone you talk to had a different explanation.
Yeah, I've seen those styles. Because I know you mostly from Shorin Ryu, we're Shido. I'm going to mess this up, but I'm sure you'll correct me. We're Shotokan now, and you started Shotokan in Shorin Ryu, went to Shorinkan, and then back to Shotokan, correct?
Well, let me correct you again. We started when we converted away from the association, the Goshin Jitsu Association, we started with a Shorinkan.
Okay.
And it was under a sensei named Roger Warren. And we seemed to be doing, we did that for a while. And at that time, I was quite busy. I was working nights. I had a lot going on, so I didn't really keep up with I had a hard enough time keeping up with just what we were doing, let alone, how we were doing it and the different aspects of it. And I'm going to say around the early 90s, we switched into Shorin Ryu Shotokan under Hanchi Iha and Miyahira. And recently, in the last few years, we've gone into just a Chibana style Shorin Ryu, which is a bit of a combination of both of them.
Okay.
I believe would be the best way to describe it. Taking some of Nakasoto and some of Iha and Miyahira's techniques and trying to find out what works best for us. Okay. Is it clear it up any, or does it make it more confusing?
Oh, no, that clears it up some. I thought that you were under Chibana before Sensei Iha.
Well, it was always under Chibana.
Okay.
All Shorin Ryu is under Chibana.
Okay.
His different disciples, so to speak, have split out and started their own styles or associations and which can get you into a whole different topic, so we won't get into that too much.
I know
today.
The lineage can really get you. Do you see a lot of differences between, we'll say Sensei Iha, and now? There's a lot of similarities, obviously, but are there a lot of differences?
I see more similarities than I see differences. Iha's karate was a very soft, circular style.
Okay, yeah.
In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, some of our other softer style purists might have something to say, but it was more of a circular style.
Okay.
A non-aggressive type, where letting the person almost, you're going around the person's power. Where with the Shorin Ken, you know, it's a lot stronger. It's, you know, the blocks go right at it, and it's a little bit more of an offensive style. That's, you know, some of the things I see.
Okay. And, well, speaking of two styles, you're studying two styles now. You study two-circle jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And how does it feel to study two styles at the same time?
It, depending on what they are, being that jiu-jitsu goes to a little different, I'm trying to think of the word to say here, takes a different facet. I find it interesting, and it's not really too confusing. I can find a lot of similarities in the katas and everything. You know, the blocks are, there's slight differences in the blocks. There's not much striking. And it mostly has to do with holds and locks and takedowns and everything. Where with our Shorin Wu style is pretty much a kick-punch style. So blending them all together, I like it. It's quite interesting. And they don't seem to clash with each other. So I don't see how anyone could study two separate actual forms of karate, kicking and punching and katas at the same time. They're a lot smarter than me if they could do something like that.
What you're saying is, and while I don't take it in nearly as much as you, I have taken some classes of the two-circle jiu-jitsu, and you're saying that one flows into the other.
They'll flow into the other, but they don't, there's no, they'll flow into each other and they mix nicely.
Okay, yeah.
There's no sort of water and oil type of thing.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, they can be blended in together.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, as far as all the styles we've studied, do you have a favorite kata?
It's hard to say. I've always really liked the Nihonshin katas.
Why? Why the Nihonshins?
I like the simplicity of them, and I like the strength in them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The Kusanku katas, Kusanku and Kusanku Dai, have a lot of movement. And it seems, you know, some of the striking and stuff, I always like that in them. Pasai, again, for body shifting and blocking, the Pasai katas, they have their purpose. And I guess if I had an all-around favorite, it'd be Chinto.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's a short and simple kata. And that's a kata I did for my first degree, and I didn't do... I was motivated to learn it better after my belt test.
Yes, I remember quite well.
And I've tried to really, I wouldn't say master that kata, but I've tried to learn it a little more on the insides of it more than the other katas.
I think it tests your conditioning. It really works your balance.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a different kind. It's the Nihonshins are short, but
yeah,
but Chinto
short, sweet to the point.
Yeah, Chinto's short, and a lot of the moves are, I don't know, more poetic to me. I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe that's just me. But
Chinto seems to bring it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. There's just something about Chinto that I like. Maybe it's because of my testing. Now you've taught me and my wife for 12 years now, and you've been teaching for a lot longer than that. And leaving out Marie, who would you, without naming names, who would you say are some of your most colorful students?
Oh, I've had some really colorful ones in the past. Yeah, I guess each and every one of them has their own little thing that kind of stands out.
Is there anything you've learned from any of the students, good or bad?
I've learned a lot about teaching. Some people, you know, different ways of getting through to them, I guess. And there are times when there's a certain way you could teach a kata, or teach any form of, karate, martial arts, whatever. You have your basic syllabus or, doing it. But once it gets there, when you really start fine-tuning, I find almost everybody to be different. There's different ways of getting through to them, and there's different ways we have of making people remember stuff and just things, like that. It really gets personalized after a while. And they'll work on one person, they might work on the next, and then they won't work on anybody for God knows how long.
There's one thing that, now's the opportunity for me to tell you this. There's one thing that you said, I don't know, I remember it was in a class maybe 5-6 years ago, and I've used it in my daily life and work experience and when I'm teaching, even outside of karate, when I'm trying to impart something to somebody. There's something you said, I don't know where you got it or if you brought it up yourself, but it's really been valuable to me. You said if one person doesn't understand, it's them. If nobody understands, it's me, and I have to teach it differently. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, I said that to myself many times.
So I just caught you when you were thinking out loud one day.
Well, I say that to teachers, when I'm trying to, with instructors all the time, trying to train instructors. But that doesn't mean that the instructor, he's done his job either. It's more of a technical thing. If, one or two people don't understand it out of a group of 10, you just have to adjust it for one or two, possibly. So I would consider that a good teaching technique.
Yeah, yeah.
If nobody understands it, it's time for you to trash that technique and go on to something else.
Yeah, like I said, I've used it a lot when I'm trying to talking to my fellow employees and my superiors at work. I've used it a lot.
That's pretty much a thing in life.
Yeah, it's done me well.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, okay, I've asked you what your favorite kata is. I wrote down in quickly before the podcast. I should say that this is a last-minute podcast. You came on, and one of the other participants, Gene, isn't feeling well tonight. So
I hope Gene's feeling better.
Yeah, me too. But
he's out there listening.
We've made arrangements. The three of us are going to podcast, and we're going to do something different. I'm not sure if I'm going to be putting it up immediately or if I'm going to save it, and maybe we'll take a week off, and I'll put it up next week. The topic we have, I think, is a good one. We'll tease, and that's as far as we'll go with that. But so what I'm asking you now is kind of a last minute thing. But you do have a lot of experience, so I thought it'd be interesting. There's no students that really stand out in your mind. Well, once again, other than Marie, no students that stand out in your mind.
There is. Different ones for different reasons. There's, offhand, it's kind of a tough thing to come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the moves that they came up with or some of the questions that they asked.
That would be me.
Yeah. So. Some of the younger ones tend to be quite colorful.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of their analogies and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to see, especially with the younger kids when they get into their preteens and maybe into their early teens. It's fun to see when the light comes on when they do a move.
Yeah, it is. It is. And sometimes they pick it up so quick. Sometimes they struggle, and then all of a sudden they'll just, like you say, the light comes on.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we don't plug too much. Actually, we don't plug at all or do any commercials on this, but I will say you've been the owner of Finger Lakes Karate in Auburn. For 11 years now.
And yep, going on my 12th year.
And your school, when you've owned it, it's always been in a mall. And
right.
But you've studied the school before you owned it. That's where you studied. And you were in private buildings at times.
We've been in private buildings. We've been in smaller commercial buildings. We're at a YMCA.
Is there a difference in training between like a Y and a private building and a mall?
The difference in training is training once you get on the floor, but getting to there, there's differences. So I was never really happy with the YMCA. They always moved us. We never had a base. I mean, you spent time before and after class, you know, taking the chairs down.
Yeah.
Putting up the mats.
Well, Gene and I have talked. We have a thing. I don't know. I know we've discussed it, at least on the boards. And actually, when Marie did the podcast with the women, they discussed the stress test, the adrenal stress program, and how there's woofing and there's language involved. And Gene and I have talked about how in the mall you can't do that.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that would be one of the downsides of being into a mall or some kind of public building where.
Is there anything else because of the mall? Is there anything else that's limited you?
I have to say the mall's been pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, but just the setting, the fact that we're open and, you know, we're in an open, we have a large opening to a communal area, to the, where the public is. Is there anything like?
You can almost always get in there. There's a back door.
Yeah, but have you liked not stressed? Key eyes or because of the mall or
no?
Anything
I
like
never
that?
Had. I've never had a problem with that.
Okay.
I sometimes worry about, you know, the younger students going out and disappearing into the mall, and as you know, we have a rule on that they're not allowed to leave until we can see them with a parent.
Yeah, yeah. We've always been good
and
about
that.
That
could be a problem, but that would be a problem with any building or any place you are.
Yeah, yeah. So the mall, you don't see a lot of difference between a mall and a private standing building.
Well, if you have your own building, then there's times when you have to, like, I remember the private building, we'd have to shovel the snow before we got in there. I like it, you know, the mall takes care of the general maintenance.
Yeah, yeah, that's a difference.
And I pretty much use, you know, being in the mall helps me as far as not having to advertise.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my advertising is a lot less because people can walk through and they always know where I am.
Yeah, and they can hear us.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very easy to tell them, well, I'm, you know, just go to Penny's and turn left.
Yeah, and there we
are. Whatever the case may, you know. I mean, I really, you know, the expense is a little more for a mall, but I think, it, you know, in the end it comes out.
Okay.
I'm pretty content there as long as everything stays the same. I know, you know, things could change tomorrow.
Yeah,
but I'm in no hurry.
Now, what would be, now, in our association, we're not considered one of the larger schools.
No.
What's your ideal class size?
Ideally, I like between 10 and 12. No more than really 15. After that, you're really stretching yourself pretty thin.
Now, does that vary depending on whether it's an advanced class or?
Advanced class, you can always go more. Beginning classes, the more time you have to spend with somebody, you could watch, the more corrections you can make, and the easier it is down the road.
Yeah.
You have to just pretty much go with the flow. Now, the younger ones, they like a bigger class. I mean, private lessons just bore them. They like to have other kids their age, and they like to do a lot of running. And
there's a certain energy level you get when we have more students in
I remember
class.
One time, years ago, before I was the owner, we tried adding another class because we thought it was too crowded and we couldn't give them the personal attention they need, and they hated it. You know, and if they hate it, that's the first thing, the kids have to be having fun.
Yeah.
They like being with all their buddies and stuff. It was a little tougher to teach.
Yeah.
But they see the interest was there, and I think their interest being having their attention made up the difference. So I've always tried to keep them, I always like the room 3/4 full theory.
Okay. I can see that. So are there any topics that you've always wanted to talk about or anything you've always wanted to say? Our audience, I should say, you've been on before, but they're mostly, we've been, I said this last week, and I really took it as a compliment. Our audience seems to be mostly karate heads, people that like karate, that maybe live the style. If not, they certainly understand what living the style of a martial artist is. Is there anything that you've ever wanted to say that was geared more towards that type of a person? Or
we're sort of a different breed. And people, I know you've had the podcast, that people outside the art do not understand it. And I've just always been pretty forgiving with it, and I don't even try to explain it anymore. Unless somebody really asks, I don't even try to explain. They don't understand. And, they talk about judo chops and things like that.
Well, yeah, that was last week's podcast when I was talking about my boss, and that's not rectified, but I think she understands a little better.
Sometimes you can't explain something to somebody that doesn't want to understand it or make the effort to understand it. So I've never really, spent a lot of time with that.
Yeah.
Just when they're ready, they'll come to you. If they really want to learn, they'll come. You almost know when you talk to somebody if they're interested or not.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And so, have you noticed a difference between, we started in the early 90s, and we did it with our daughter started, and then we started. And it seemed at that time, I don't know if this is our dojo or if this has been a trend. At that time, it seemed like a lot of parents started that way, a lot of the adults in the class. Now it doesn't seem so much that way. I mean, you still have a lot of children, and you still have a good portion of adults starting, but it doesn't seem like it's the parents brought the kids because they all, in our case, in a lot of the parents' cases, we brought our child because we always wanted to study karate, and we never did, and then we started.
It's interesting, Pete. I mean, it could be a generational thing. It could be just the trend. Now, I do see that, and I'm not sure, of what all the reasons are. Maybe, I know golf has taken off big now,
Yeah.
I shouldn't say younger adults, but maybe the adults in the early 30s and 40s.
Yeah, what we used to be back when we started, at least when Marie and I started.
And that seems to be where they're putting their interest, and it's a... it's a lot easier. The big thing is where you lose most people is when they start to find out how much work it is.
Yeah, because a lot
of... Even the people that are fascinated by the martial arts. I mean, how many have we gotten in and they realize, Jesus, a lot more work than I thought.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be jumping from buildings next week.
Now, when you started, people wanted to be like Bruce Lee. And then now, maybe even today, people want to be like Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Do you see people with different expectations? I mean, maybe now, do you think that consumers, people that look in our dojo or that whose kids start, you don't think they understand a little more what it's about? Or do you think it's still they see a stereotype in the movies?
Because there's more movies now and there's more different martial arts movies, I think they have a little better understanding. Some of the mystery is gone. They still, they're a little more curious, and I'll tell them right off, it's going to make you better at things.
Mm-hmm.
How good you're going to be, a lot of it's up to you. A lot of it was up to God when he made you. The talent you have. There's a certain point where, just natural ability comes into play. But I can guarantee this, if you want to put the work into it, you can improve anywhere from 50 to, I'd say even more than 100%.
Yeah, well, I've said...
Depending about how much work you want to put in, and, it still might not make you a world champion or anything like that, but it's going to, really bring you a long way from where you are.
Yeah, well, it's been an ongoing theme of this podcast because, I've said that I know... It's almost like you have to find the style that fits your body and your abilities, because I could never do a flying sidekick. I can barely do... a roundhouse kick above the knee, but I don't have to. In this style, I don't have to.
I try to keep it to, make the goals, reachable.
Yeah.
And maybe you can't, kick much above the knee, but something to work on would be to kick, to the stomach level.
Yeah.
To a chew-down level.
But I also
from
know...
From there to, maybe a little bit higher. Yeah. That's the things that you have to work for. Yeah.
But I've also, for my personal goal, I've also always kept in mind that my roundhouse kick, like I said, it is above the knee, isn't a lot of power is lost because of the way my hips work. But below the knee, I know that the damage I can do is a self-defense maneuver.
Exactly. Now that gets into another thing. There comes a point when you actually personalize your karate a little bit, especially in self-defense. Sparring is an example that we're going through a lot because we're trying to revamp the sparring program a little bit and get some of the women a little more involved and teach them the basics, things. There's things that are going to work for you that you're going to like to do. But my thing is I like to make have you know how to do the other things, even if you can't do it. I mean, I don't expect you to do a jump, flying, spinning, back kick, scissors, axe, you know,
yeah,
kick and stuff like that. But I'd like you to have a general knowledge of how it's done and even try to do, you know, as much as you can just so you can get a feel for it. You know, like I've told people before, you know, like one person was telling me I have a terrible spinning back kick. He says, I don't care if it's terrible. Don't use it when you, you know.
Yeah, but
you have to, but I want you to know how to teach it.
Yeah, and also,
and it gives you also gives you something to work at. Sometimes those things work themselves out.
Yeah, yeah.
To give up on it and say, well, I can't do that technique.
Yeah, well, I mean,
cheating yourself.
Well, there's techniques like I know that I'll never do it. I hope that I'll never need a spinning back kick because I don't like. I just have this thing about it. I feel like it's exposing my back, but I like that I know how to. I know I like knowing that it's in my toolkit in case it ever comes a need for it.
Again, that's something that, you know, you might not be part of your personal repertoire, but it's something that you should know because as a black belt, we call you sensei, and, you know, sensei in way means teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to teach that and explain it.
Yeah.
It's not the mental part is you should know the art.
Yeah.
Being able to perform it, you know, it's a different level. And I kind of, I know I've always got on you guys because and you're going to find this, it's when somebody says, oh, there's no sense of me practicing that, I'll never be able to do that. It's kind of an insult to the teacher.
Oh, I never, yeah, okay.
Says, you know, well, I just wasted, you know, all this time trying to teach you that because you don't even want to learn it. That's why some of the moves and some of the upper katas when I step on your shoulders and things like that, you want to get as close to it as you can. Like I say, maybe your hips don't rotate enough that for you to be able to perform a head kick or do it properly.
Yeah.
And you're very, you know, you feel like you got a good, powerful kick to the thighs. But how about a midsection roundhouse kick?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or how about a head kick to, you know, somebody who's on their knees as opposed to somebody who's laying on the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Wrenchy Chuck that says the only time I could axe kick somebody is if they're laying on the ground.
No, I was thinking,
good, but let's work to maybe X-kick them if they're, you know, on one knee or something or sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
If you kind of get my point.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Get where I'm going at.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. Well, that's about all the questions I've written down. I'm sure there, and once we get off out, there's a bunch of other questions. Like I said, you've always had a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you.
It's amazing.
That's kind of you.
Well, it's true. It's amazing how much you know. You've probably forgotten more about the martial arts than I know, and it's just it's not something that you show, but it's something that when you talk to you, it becomes apparent.
Well, that comes, I guess, with the humility part.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really. I always say nobody cares really how good you are or how many trophies you won. If they do care, that's not the type of person that, you know,
yeah,
you want to be teaching. It's what can I do for you? And that goes back to the gist of our conversation of just how much better can I make you?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, well, I think we're going to – it's been about a half hour, and we try to keep them right around a half an hour. And thinking about it, I think maybe the one we do tomorrow night I'll put out midweek, and
this one, I think.
I'm sorry.
This one's going to need some editing.
Well, not much. You did really well. I'm just going to edit a little bit, but that's okay. That's between you and I. What I edit out. Once again, this has been Karate Cafe, and I'm not used to being the host. I let Gene take care of that. But you can reach us at karatecafe@gmail.com, or you can join us on the forums and continue our conversations at karatecafe.com. And for Wrenchy Tony Musso, I'm Pete Shambo, and good night.
Thank you. Good night.